I can say, this is what God said. And therefore, I can know the purpose of God. Why did God save mankind? Well, first of all, verse 7 says, salvation is for show. It's going to show. He might show the exceeding riches of his grace. That's the extent of salvation. It's going to extend the exceeding riches. It's exceeding. It's exceeding in who is saved. He saves those who are down and out. Paul calls himself one of those. Paul said, I'm the worst of sinners, and God saved me. And you say, well, yeah, but Paul was a rabbi. Paul knew the word, knew the Old Testament. Don't count on him. Well, how about the thief on the cross? Now, that's one. He wasn't down, he was up on the cross, but he was a thief. And God saved him, see? And he saved also a man named Nicodemus. He was a man up and out. He was out, he was up, he thought he knew the word, and he kept asking Jesus, what must I do? And Jesus told him, you have to be born again. As good as he was, as nice a man, a great position, all that, he had to be born again. So he had to be a ruler of the Jews, had to be born again. He had to have salvation, just like the thief on the cross. It's also exceeding in what it does. How these people are saved. They're saved from the uttermost, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Did you ever hear the hymn, Saved to the Uttermost? The hymn writers hadn't, the hymnal putter together didn't know it either. They couldn't find it. Yeah, saved to the uttermost. That's what it is. From where we were, from where Adam fell, to where Adam was in the beginning, then from there on up, we've already talked about it, in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. That's the exceeding riches of his grace. And that's the extent of salvation. Now the end of salvation. Salvation is toward us, toward mankind, not the angels. The angels have no salvation. In fact, hell was prepared for the angels, for the devil and his angels, so those who fell with him. That's, they fell, and God said, okay, that's it. Nothing now. Go. And they go. They went. So, no salvation for angels. Jesus became human so that he could save humans. He had to be one of us in order to save us. And he rescued us, Hebrews 2:14 says, since they were flesh and blood, he also took part of the same flesh and blood so that he might redeem them. That's it, Hebrews 2:14. So, it's not angels, not animals. Sorry, that cat is not going to be there, with all due respect to the cat. No animals, no salvation for animals, as far as we know. I mean, he didn't write the book, the Bible, to animals. They couldn't read it. So we don't know. But we do know this, that there's nothing in Scripture said about animals. We don't know their destiny. There's nothing to indicate they have eternal souls. So we just say that. Also, here it is, not people on Mars. They can't be saved. I said that one time, Dr. Toussaint was out on the, sitting on a bench, and several of us were standing around talking to him. And I said, I made that statement, people on Mars can't be saved. He said, why? Well, I said, we have the only Savior. He says, what if they haven't sinned? Maybe they can be in heaven too. Well, we'll see. But nothing about them, because it's us, only us. And I say that because there is no lesser Savior would do. You couldn't have a lesser Savior. If there had been a lesser Savior, somebody else who could have done it, God would not have given his Son. And there is no greater one than God's Son. He's the only one. And because he's the only one, then he's our Savior. He's a human. He'll remain human for eternity, as far as we know from Scripture. He'll be there. So we have the only Savior available. There is no salvation for anybody else, even people on Mars. Now, the extent of salvation, the end of salvation, humans, the effector of salvation. Who did it? Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus is this salvation, not Satan. Satan had no part in it. Well, why would he say that? Everybody knows Satan didn't have any part in it. Well, not everybody knows that. The Seventh-day Adventists believe from Leviticus 16 that Satan bore our sins. Well, let me give you a little background. There are two goats. Remember Leviticus 16, there were two goats selected on the Day of Atonement. There was the one who was to be crucified, who was to be sacrificed for our sin, for the sins of the people. And there was the other one called the scapegoat. And he's the one over whom Aaron would say the sins of the people, and then they led that one out into the wilderness, and he bore away the sins. And Ellen G. White of the Seventh-day Adventists said, oh, Satan was that one. He was the scapegoat. Satan bore our sins, and they believed that. Well, not true. The two goats both picture the work of Christ. He died for us, and he also bore our sins away. Well, how do I know that? My inspired book, Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Verse 11 goes on to say, by his knowledge, my righteous servant, Jesus, obviously, shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. No, not Satan. Also, not Mary. Now, why do I say that? Well, some people pray to Mary. Some people pray to angels. None of those, we shouldn't pray to anybody but God. Did you know that? We shouldn't be praying to people, different people. Oh, St. Jude. What? Pray. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. So, she, by the way, is not the mother of God. She's the mother of Jesus. Remember, Isaiah 9:6 says, behold, a child is born, and what? A son is given. She is not the father of the son. She's the father of Jesus, the human man Jesus. So we don't pray to her. She's not a mediator between God and men, and not the mother of God. So not some man. Some other man cannot forgive you of your sins. Now, he may forgive your sin against him, but he can't remove your sins. He can't forgive your sins in that sense, to take the sin away. I heard about a woman who, an older lady in the church, she was sick, and they had a new pastor come in, and she hadn't seen him, and he came to bring her communion, and he said to her, I'm here to forgive your sins. And she said, what? You're here to forgive my sins? Yeah. So, show me your hands. Hold your hands out. I don't see any nail holes in your hands. Only he can forgive my sin. So no other person can forgive your sins. Not a priest, not a pastor, not an evangelist. Man, I've heard some of those. You send me $1,000 and I'm going to pray for you. I'll pray for you for a lot less. But I won't forgive your sins. I can't do that. No man can. And guess what? Not you either. You can't do that. Titus 3:5 says, for not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Not you at all. You're not there. And now, the effect of salvation. He says that in the ages to come, he might show. Now, the place of that showing, remember, salvation for show, the place of that showing is going to be in the ages to come. Not just one age, not just the millennium, but in all the ages to come, he's going to show forth us as trophies of grace. He's going to say, look at her. She's a trophy of grace as she walks through eternity. Yeah, that's it. That's it. We are going to be shown off the trophies of God's grace. Then that's the place of the showing. But the person of the showing is that he might show. What do you mean show? Why? Why is he going to show? Because God is all of history. God is giving a self-revelation. Did you know that? When angels fell, God cast them out. What does that show? God is holy. He can't have that. Out you go. At the creation, he shows his power. God is powerful. Through the Adam's death, God showed now his love, his compassion, his kindness, because he provided salvation for mankind. Man continuously rebels, and God shows his patience. The eventual judgment of sin shows his justice. That's what God's doing here. From way over there to way over there, God is revealing himself. Why wouldn't he just say, okay, Adam, I forgive you. Now everybody's safe. Populate the earth. Because God's revealing himself. And he'll go on revealing himself, not only in the millennium, but in eternity. There'll be new things that we'll learn about God forever. He's infinite. And we'll be, you'll be walking one someday, and somebody will come out of one of those big houses up there, come out and say, hey, guess what I heard? Do you know this? God did this. God is this. Wow, never thought of that. And we'll talk about election, and I'll say, here's why God did it. Oh, yeah, that's the way he did it. Reb was close, but he wasn't right. You got, wherever you are on the spectrum, it won't be exactly what God did. He's going to show it. So he's going to show forth all things and revealing himself all through the ages to come. And then we have the progression that's shown in this passage that's a part of that showing. He's going to show the progression of man, like their past. He's going to say, he was dead in sin. He was living by the world. He was a child of wrath. And I saved him. And now he is alive in Christ. He is raised with Christ. He is seated beside Christ. And the future, that they will forever demonstrate the exceeding riches of his grace. And God's going to point to you and to me, everybody there, going to say, look what I did. Well, that's a trophy of my grace. Isn't that wonderful? Guess who did that? My son. See, my son gets all the glory. Now, let me tell you something. You're pretty special. But don't you go around telling everybody how special you are. No. Don't do that. God's going to take care of that, because God is not only going to tell how special you are, he's going to tell how you got that way. He's going to say, he didn't do a thing. My son did it. That's what it's all about. So that my son gets all the special. Don't tell anybody. He's going to say, he didn't do anything, but he's a trophy of my grace. That's salvation for show. And now, grace for no glory, that no flesh should glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians 1:29. In this section, grace for no glory, the Savior is exalted. For by grace you have been saved. Have been saved, says somebody else did it to you. It's a passive. So he receives all the glory. In Philippians 2, 9 through 11, Paul says this, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, and every tongue should confess, here's what they say, Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of God the Father. See, he gets all the glory. And grace is no glory for me. I received the grace, he received the glory. So the Savior is exalted. And self is excluded. Not of yourselves, that is, not of works. See, Jesus said, he that believes on me has eternal life. John 6:47. That's it. It's receiving a gift. That's why he calls it here a gift. I like what Jesus said to Martha. John 11, verse 25 and 26. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe that? And Martha said, I like what she said. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And that strikes a chord with me. Wait a minute. I heard that somewhere else. I heard it in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. He says, and truly, Jesus did many other signs and in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that same word, believing, you might have life through his name. Martha said, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. John said, you believe that, you have eternal life. That's it. So the Savior is exalted, and in all of this. Now, if you are working, if you work, you put someone into your debt. You work, he says, I'll pay you $400 a week. How's that? $10 an hour. And you work Monday. His payday is Friday. You work Monday. That man's in your debt. He owes you a lot of money. Right? All day. 8 times 4, 32. Right? It was your $32. And on and on and on. So comes Friday, if he comes to you and says, okay, I'm going to give you $400. Wow, I get $800. Why? Because he said he's going to give me $400. No, he owes me $400. He's going to pay me that. He misunderstands. Somebody does. What I'm saying to you is, when you work for somebody, you put him into your debt, he has to pay you for that. You didn't work for anything for this salvation. You get nothing. You pay nothing. See, it's a gift of God. And the gift of God, there's another one of those purpose words, lest anyone should boast, in order that no one may boast. See, it's God's salvation. He has a right to give it any way he pleases. And his sovereignty is established here. A man wants to be independent. I can do it myself. And God says, you cannot do any part of it. My son did it all. And my son gets all the glory take it my way or you don't take it at all. Salvation for show, grace for no glory. And then works for the walk, verse 10. God has the right to say, here are the works I want you to do, because he's the one who created. He created you. And we are his workmanship, verse 10 says, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now, that word workmanship is only used here in one other place. We are his workmanship, pima, the thing that is made. It's used of sculptors and artwork and so forth. It's something that is made. Well, we are something that's made. We are made, created in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship. And in Romans 1:20, we read the same word. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and godhood, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. What he's saying is that the workmanship, the heavens are the workmanship of God. Everything that's made was God's workmanship. Now he says, the same word, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. The works are made by Christ for us who have been made. So, when God created, the entire world was good. He says in Genesis 1:31, he saw what he had made, everything that he made, and it was very good. Okay, let's start off. Now, man fell. And at salvation, God creates him again. And because he is the creator, he has the right to tell that creation what to do. So he created you. It wasn't good enough. You couldn't be patched up. You fell so bad that he couldn't patch you up. He didn't say, oh, I'll fix this and fix this. No. A brand new creation. Really? Oh, I know. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars and the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, he's still working on me. Creation, but by his creation, I'm his, and he has the right to tell me what to do. Now, there's also the be patient with me, God is not finished with me yet. Or, I'm a work in progress. All of that says, God has created us. Now, the believers then are a work of God. We are his workmanship. Not created by man's works, verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are created for works, 10b. For the works which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So not only is his right by creation, it's his right by commandment that we should walk in them. That's his command. Now, these are works that God prepared in advance that we should walk in them. He's not saying that we must walk in them in order to be saved. He's not saying that we cannot be saved unless we walk in them. He is not saying that we are saved that we're not saved if we do not walk in them. Not that at all. He does not say that we are to work in them. Do you notice that? Works created in Christ Jesus that we should walk in them. That we should walk in these works. I think what he's saying is that he wants us to walk close to him, walking in him, and as we walk in him by faith, he works in us. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who works in you. See? So these works he wants us to do. He created us. He commanded us to do these works. But these, he says, walk by faith. Do you believe that? Yeah, you believe that for salvation. Now you believe what he said here for discipleship. Now, walk in faith. If you walk in faith, then it is God who works in you both to will and to do. I don't feel like doing that. Well, God, take care of that. He has a little strange way of doing it sometimes, but he will make your willer willing, and then you'll walk in them. So, we have salvation for show, grace for no glory, and works for the walk. See, we don't receive our salvation by works. We don't keep our salvation by works. We don't receive the assurance of our salvation by works. See, works are part of discipleship, not of salvation. And these works, well, what works are these? What shall we say? Well, the rest of Ephesians tells what these works are. Interesting. Works within the body. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. Works with the individual. 4:17 to 5:17. Works within the family, the family unit. 5:18 through 6:9. And work outside of the family. 6:10 through 20. So, these are works that we should be walking in them. Read the book of Ephesians. Tells us what they are. See, it's God's plan of salvation. He offers it to us as a gift. Don't insult God by trying to pay for it. You imagine that? Somebody gives you a gift and you say, oh, here, let me pay you for it. Let me tell you something. If you wanted to pay for it, you couldn't afford it. Nobody can afford it. You don't have enough money.